Alright, so we are holding on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Lo Yetze Ha'ish, a man should not go out, lo b'sayif, not with a sword, lo b'keshes, nor with a bow, lo b'tris, which is a shield, lo b'ala. Okay, 1 second. Lay ba'ala, and not with a, it's just like one of those, you know, those old sticks, like a mace. It had a big ball at the end of it with spikes coming out. Lay ba'roimach, and not with a spear. V'im yatza, and if they do go out, chayav chatas, they're chayav chatas. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, because it's counting, tachshit in eloi, no, it's an adornment. And adornments you're allowed to wear, at least mitzvah. It's not tachshitin. It's a genai. It's a bad thing. Shenemar, as it states in the pasuk, and of course we are very familiar with this pasuk, because it is written at the United Nations in New York. As it says, v'chitetu charvoisam le'itim v'chani seisehem le'mizmeres and le'mazmeres, and it should they will. Beat their plow, their swords into, they will beat their swords into, I'm forgetting the pasuk, they will beat their swords into,
plowshares.
In plow, no, so is that the first one? The first one is plowshares, or the second one is plowshares? And their spears into
pruning hooks,
yeah, there you go. Yeah, so they beat their swords into plowshares, there you go. So beat their swords into plowshares and their swords into pruning hooks. Okay? Nowadays, we don't know what plowshares are or pruning hooks. But then again, we don't have swords or spears. V'lo yisa goy el goy cherev, and there will not be a wars anymore between armies, between nations, and there will no longer be military academies. Biris Tahira, the Yitzin about Bishabbos. A biris is this thing we spoke about before, which is like some sort of belt that they put around the top of their stockings, and they tie it in order to keep the stockings all the way up the leg, so the stockings don't fall down. And it's Tahira. The Yitzin about Bishabbos, she's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Kvalim, the Gemara will discuss what Kvalim are, they're Tmeyan. The ain yoytzim b'ev Shabbos. You're not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. So, in fact, the Gemara my ba'ala, and that's a cool flood, says it's this mace. Rabbi Lezer, I'm a tachshitin ain loy. They're a tachshitin. Tanya, I'm a leilu Rabbi Lezer. B'chi me'achad a tachshitin ain loy. If they're really, you know, adornments, so me'bnei ma'ahein b'teilin li'moyse Mashiach. Why are they going to be batal when Mashiach comes? Amar lehen l'fisha ain loy n'tzrichin. You're not going to need them. Shenemar lo yisugoy el goy cherev, because there's not going to be any more war. Says the Gemara, but to have a l'noy ba'amos, then just have it stop for niceness. You carry around an M16, even though you don't need it. Because Lamaisa, it looks cool. And Amar Abaya, me to have a shagra batira. No, it might look nice. At night, let's say you have a beautiful chandelier. But if it's outside, and there's no need for the chandelier, then you're not going to have a chandelier to make it look nice. The chandelier might be nice, but only if there's some sort of need for it. And then it's a nice thing. But when it's not a nice thing, when it's not needed at all, it's weird. You don't have an outdoor chandelier, because everybody understands during an afternoon wedding, you don't need a chandelier. So even though the chandeliers are very nice, and they are tachshitin, but if there's no need for them at all, they're misplaced, and it's not a tachshitin. That's his response. And I think I sort of identify with this mahalach. I mean, I definitely understand that there is such a thing as weapons looking nice, and people, you know, displaying the weapons, not only as a sign of giving fear to other people, but as a sign of, it's a fashion. It's a fashion statement. You could have a gun as a fashion statement. Now, of course, guns obviously are ichor practical. If you are teaching kindergarten, then the fashion statement you want to show is not your weapons. So the fashion statements themselves have a time and a place. That's Rabbi Loza's response. They only have a time and a place. If everybody is beating their stuff into plowshares, you don't want to be the guy who still has a sword. Everybody's showing off their new plowshares, and you're showing off your sword. Nobody—it's out of place. But if it's, I can totally see like a somebody, you know, simply positioning his M16 or a nice pistol on an outfit or a uniform. For example, if you can imagine a military uniform, so you can imagine the placement of a nice pistol on the uniform. Or the actual, you know, sometimes you even have a gun that's just there for looks. Nowadays, that guns are in style. So I do identify, I'm not going to pass in one or the other, but I definitely understand the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. I'm just saying it over to help explain what his opinion is. His opinion is that it indeed is a fashion statement. It is tashitin. It looks good. And the classical picture that you imagine in your thing of an ancient soldier, he has the bow over his shoulder, and he has the weapon. So it's part of the makeup, and therefore it is a tachshit. It is a adornment. Okay, upliga the Shmuel. This whole idea argues on Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel ain't bein olam hazeh le'olam hazeh Mashiach. It's not going to be batul when Mashiach comes. There's no difference. El shibud galios bilvad. The only difference is that we will have a Jewish king. That's the only difference. Mashiach's going to come whenever he comes, today, tomorrow. And nothing's going to change. There's still going to be wars. There's still going to be good things and bad things. The nafkamina is that Jews will have their own king, who is Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, in Eretz Yisrael. So, Ela Shibud Galus Bavad. We're not going to be Meshubid. Shibud Gol is we're not going to be Meshubid to other kings. Shenemar ki lo yechdel evyoin mikerev haaretz. As it states, there will never cease to be a poor person in the land. There's always going to be cycles, life cycles, car accidents. You know, there's always going to be these things that happen. Misayei alei l'Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. This is a proof to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Kol anavim leinis namnu el lemeis ha-Mashiach. All these prophecies that... so this is a misayele. It is a proof, though, to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Shmuel argues on Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. He says, because Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says that kol anavim leinis namnu el lemeis ha-Mashiach. All these prophecies, like they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All those are for when Mashiach comes. Indeed, he holds that when Mashiach comes, Mashiach's going to come today and tomorrow, it's going to be a totally different world. There's going to be no more wars. There's going to be peace. The lion will lie down with the sheep, and the wolf will lie down with the sheep. It's going to be a changed society. Society itself will change. Aval olam haba, and indeed, this is a machloikas. This machloikas runs down all the way to the Rishonim as well. So it's right over here. The machlekas. What's going to happen when Mashiach comes? The Ramban sides with this opinion over here that it's going to be a different world. It's going to be a very little to no Yetzer Hara. It's going to be back to when the times of Adam Arishan, which is going to be a completely unrecognizable world, and there's going to be no taiva to do anything that is not the Ratzon Hashem. So it's kind of people are going to. It's, you know, people are like, oh no, I don't want that. Well, it's not really true, because when you don't have the type, you're not going to not like it. But there is, it's going to be a totally different world. So, Aval Olam Haba, what's going to be in Olam Haba? Ein Lo Rasa Elokim Zulasecha. That's something that's undescribable in this planet. And Mashenkin Shmuel holds like the Rambam. The Rambam holds that when, I shouldn't say Shmuel holds like the Rambam. Shmuel is the other opinion, and the Rambam sides with that opinion. And that opinion is that when Mashiach comes, everything's going to stay the same. It's just that we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Are there going to be big eagles? According to the Rambam's version, my guess is that it means planes. And Zechariah or whoever saw these planes, so he called them eagles for lack of a better word. He saw it. He saw the pictures in his Nevuah. But not knowing what the Delta symbol was, he said, oh, those are big eagles. But he obviously seen that people are going in them. So that's according to the Rambam. According to the Ramban, it's very possible that these tremendous eagles will appear. Why not? I mean, everything else is going to be different anyway. So, you can, even according to the Ramban, you could say that it means planes. But it's going to be a whole different... But according to the Ramban, I don't think it's far-fetched at all to say that eagles means eagles. And according to the Rambam, I think it is far-fetched. And it probably means planes. Okay, again, it's not really Rambam and Ramban. It's these two opinions right over here. They argue had a paskin, Shmuel and Rabbi Abba. Call and Vim, and Abba, Elim, Mesh, Elim, Abba, Ein, Lerasa, Likim, Zavzach, Abba. Igit Amri, Amr, Lerasa, Rabbi Lazar, Tisit, Rabbi Lazar, Vichim, Achat, Tachshid, and Eloi. If weapons are really, or dormants, Mipnei, Mahin, Betalin, Li, Moisa, Mashiach, why are they going to be bottled when Mashiach comes? And he answers, Abba, Afli, Moisa, Mashiach, and Betalin. Even during when Mashiach comes, they're not going to be bottled. Like Shmuel says, Hainu, the Shmuel. But Pligid, Rabbi Chibar, Abba, and this would argue in Rabbi Chibar, Abba. Amr, Le, Abba, Ilar, Rav, Dimi, Vamri, Lerav, Avia, Vamri, Lerav, Yosef, Lerav, Dimi, Vamri, Lerav, Avia, Vamri, Lerav, Abba, Lerav, Yosef. My time with Rabbi Lazar, Damar, Tachshit, and Hainlai. What is the reasoning for Rabbi Lazar who says that weapons are tachshitin, are adornments? Yosef, Chagor, Charbecha, Al Yarech, Gibor, Hoyducha, Vahadarecha. As it states, gird your sword, tie your sword onto your thigh. Let the strong man, Hoyducha, Vahadarecha. It should be a adornment for you, like a beauty for you. Beauty for you. Amalei Rav Kahana Lamar Brei Rav Huna. Hi, but Divrei Torah. That's talking about Torah. And Amalei, yeah, you're right. It's talking about Torah. But Ein Mikra Yotz Midei Pshutei. But the simple version of the pasuk doesn't. It's using a mashal. So if it's using a mashal, so then it's got to be true. You know, the Eishes Chayel Miyimta. It's Beikar. The pashtus of it is talking about a Tamar Chacham or Torah and things like that. So you know, you have these guys who say like, "Oh, Eishes Chayel doesn't really, you know, refer to women and like that." But it's not true. You're right. The mefarshim on the pasukim explain that it's talking about Torah, but it's using it as a muscle. You can't, if it doesn't mean it in the real world, then it wouldn't use it as a muscle. So of course it means it pashup shad also. You're right. There's an explanation that will mean Torah, but if it's of course it means pashup shad as well, which is exactly what the Gemara is answering over here. You're right. It means, you know, strong man, gird your weapons to your thing, and it means Torah. But you can't take it out of Pshutai. And it means the simple version as well also. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a good muscle. Amar of Kahana, Kad Havina Bar Tam Nisrei, when I was like 18 years old, Shnin, have a Gamir Nalei Lekulu Shas. I finished all of Shas. V'lei Havi Adana, Te'in Mikra Yitzim Midei Pshutai. I did not know this rule that you have to learn the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk as well. Ad Hashta, until now. What's the chiddush? My kamash blan that the ligmar inish v'hadad lizbar. First, learn everything, and then, no, after you know the basics, then go back and review it with the rules. So he learned the basics of all shas, and then afterwards he went back and he learned the rules. Ein mikra yitzim midei pshutai. Okay, now let's go over the whole Talmud again, and now let's ask questions. Hey, ein mikra yitzim midei pshutai. What about over there? What about over there? So, at least he was coming with a basis. Says the Gemara Simon Zaras. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Shnei Talmidei Chachamim Machadidin Zel Zeh B'Halacha. Two Talmidei Chachamim who sit and learn and sharpen each other with Halacha. They cut down each other's svaros and they rebuild them, and then they offer rias and supports and questions and back and forth. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Matzliach Lam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives them success. Shenemar V'Haderech Tzalach. Al Tikri V'Haderech Ele V'Chadadecha. When you sharpen each other, you get. V'Loi Oyd Ele She'Oylin L'Gedula. They will go up to Gedula. Shenemar Tzalach Rechav. Yachal afilu shleilishma. I would think maybe even if they're learning shleilishma, tamid lemer al davar emes, on a true word. Yachal imheges daite. I would think even if they become bali gaiva, tamid lemer daimer va'anvat tzedek, that va'anvat tzedek, as it says, they are. That same pasuk says va'anvat tzedek, and they'll be humble. If they do this, zeichin the Torah, they will be zeichin the Torah shenitna biyamin that was given in the right hand. Shenemar v'tayrosa and ayrois yaminecha. Okay. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar zeichin the dvarim shenemar biyamina shel Torah. They will be zeichin to the things that were said biyamina shel Torah. What does that mean? The Amar of Shila Bar Abba Bar Shila Bar Amila Amar of Yosef Bar Chama Amar of Sheshes. My dechsev ayrich yamim biyamina b'smayla oishav v'kaved. What does it mean that ayrich yamim there will be a lengthy of days biyamina and in the smayla will be richness and. So what does Yamina, what does Smaila mean? Ela biyamina, so first the Gemara says, Ela biyamina erichem ika oisher v'kavad. Like for the ones on the right, it's only long days, but there's no oisher and kavad, there's no richness and honor. Ela, says the Gemara, what it means is as follows. Lamayim minimba. To those who, now, where it's a, sort of a borrowed context over here. If you work at the Torah with your right hand, meaning you treat it with your right hand, meaning you give it the main focus of your day, because the main focus is the right hand, then you get erich yamim ika, you get lengthy of days, and certainly you get oisher and kavod, because you get oisher and kavod. Lemas mi'ilimba, to those who treat it with the left hand, meaning it's, you know, it's not as important as the main part of the day, so then they still get oisher v'chavad, ika ba'erich yamim leka, but there's no guarantee of erich yamim. So now going back, the Gemara was saying that you get this, since this pasuk says v'teiracha ne'ra'as yaminecha, so it says the word yaminecha, and it says the things that are giving biyamina shel Torah to those who treat it with the right hand, that would be oisher v'chavad and erich yamim. Amar b'yermi, Amar b'shimon b'lakha. Shnei tamidei chacham hanoichim zelus b'halacha. Two tamidei chacham that are peaceful with each other b'halacha. They're giving rayas instead of, you know, sharply, you know, criticizing each other and learning and, you know, commenting and fighting. They are gentle with each other b'halacha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu makshiv lehem. Hashem listens to them. Shenemar oz nidbaru yirei Hashem. It says the two tamid chacham ishal re'ehu, two tamid chacham, and the rest of the pasuk goes, and Hashem will come listen to you. And says the comments of the Gemara, ain dibor el nachas. The word dibor is nachas, is pleasant. I believe that's what it means. As it says, shenemar yadber amim tachtenu. As it says, you will lead the nations under us, but I guess in a gentle way.
Humble.
You will humble. Yeah, Rashi says humble. Yashba v'chol shfeilus b'nachas. And you will humble them, and all that's all done in peace. Oh, no, I was remembering the second version of Rashi. Hanoichin manhikim ze'ezel, havanasa shalachayim. Yadber is tagim shal yinahag. You will lead them. You will lead them. Yadber amin taftin. You will lead them. I was remembering the second version. Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that in Chumash, usually Amira versus Amar.
Yes.
Daber. Amar is like a softer line.
Yes, I think this is a different word. I don't think this is Daber. I think this is a whole different word. I think the Yud is part of the Iker. It's part of the Shairish. I think it's Yadber, yeah. And it means like lead or lower down.
Okay, because the pasuk says
Shenemar
Az Nidberu
Yirei
Hashem is speaking.
Yeah, no. So that's the first one, okay, fine. I thought you were referring to the second pasuk of Ein Dibur Shenemar Yadber Mim Tachtenu.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're saying it's like
Yeah, you're correct. Okay, I was referring to the second pasuk. So you're saying by the first pasuk, as Nidbur Yirei Hashem, they're speaking to each other, and the Gemara is learning that Dibur is Benachas, and you are correct that every time we say in the Torah Dibur, we mean it's a harsher Dibur rather than Vayomer. So over here, it's interesting that it means calmer or nicer, pleasanter. Yeah, I hear the har.
Just interesting.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah, I know. Interesting. Okay, my ulachos veishemai. What is this? This pasuk finishes off. The pasuk of Oz Nidbaru Yirei Hashem Ishel Reihu Vayakshav Hashem Yishma Vayikosav Sefer Zikaron Lefnei Hashem V'Yirei Hashem V'Lachos Veishemai. How do you? What is the word last words of that pasuk? L'chayish v'shemay. Amar of Ami. Afilu chishiv la'ases mitzvah v'nanes v'lo yasah ma'aleh alav v'kasav kilo asah. If a person is trying to do a mitzvah and something happens and he can't do it, the Torah treats it as if he did it. Amar b'chinina bar idi kol ois mitzvah k'ma'amara. Whoever does a mitzvah as it is stated, in other words, in its perfect form, a mivasan esed besuris reis. They do not. Like, give him, in Ravas means they don't give him the news of bad news, but it means that they don't, you know, bad things don't happen to him. Shenemar, Shemar mitzvah lo yedid avaraz. It says, those who watch mitzvahs, they don't know anything bad. Omer va'asi v'yitimur of chanina, afilu kadosh baruch hu kozer gzera hu mevatla. Even if a kadosh baruch hu is kozer gzera, he will be mevatla. Shenemar, ba'asher diber melech sholton, mi yomer lo matase. As it says, the king is going to speak, and who's going to tell him what to say? And right next to it, it says, "V'shem mitzvah lo yedid avaraz." Even though Hashem can make a gezeira, but he's not for a person who keeps the mitzvahs. Amar bi Abba, Amar bi Shimon ben Laka, Shnei tamidei chachamim makshivim zeh lezeh b'halacha. Two tamidei chachamim that listen to each other in halacha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu shomea l'kol, and Hashem listens to their voice. Shenemar yeshevus beganim chaverim makshivim l'kolecha hashmi'eni. As it says, those who sit in the gardens. Chaver and their friends, makshivim l'kaylecha hashmi'eni. Then Hashem says, "I will listen." Ve'im ein oisim kain, and if they don't do this, garmin le'shchina shet mistalekas mi'israel there. They cause that the shchina leaves klal Yisrael. Shenemar barach todi v'doymela barach todi and v'doymelecha v'udmelecha v'tzvi oleifa hayalam al harei b'somim. Pasuk in Shir Hashirim. This pasuk is immediately following the previous pasuk. So in the previous pasuk, it's stated that if you're sitting in the gardens of Torah and they're listening to each other, then Hashem listens also. But then the next pasuk, it says that Brach Doidi D'melech, Hashem will run away. So how do we know that that pasuk is talking about where they are not listening? Maybe the Vard is, I don't know if you have any notes there, but I'm not sure how we see from this pasuk that if you're not listening, Hashem will run away. But I'm thinking maybe the pasuk is that he's saying that because you listen, he's not running away. I don't know, maybe that's the Vard. I'm not sure how we see from this pasuk that if they're not listening. I see that the pasukim are connected. It's one after the other. Rashi points that out also. But I don't see exactly how the second pasuk refers to where they're not listening. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Shnei Talmidei Chacham Hamadgilim Zeh Lezeh B'Halacha. Madgilim is the lashon that Rashi says means that they gather to each other and they say, let's learn from each other. And since Rashi points out that the reason why they're doing this is because they don't have a Rebbe. So it's two unprofessionals who are learning with each other because they don't have a Rebbe to learn from. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oyev and Hashem loves them. Shenemar Udgile Alai Ahava. Those who gather together, I will love. Amar Rava. B'hud Diyadi Tzuras HaDishmaya. As long as they know something basic, they know the basic ideas. They don't know how to learn. And they might make mistakes, but at least they know the basic ideas. And that's also if there's no Rebbe in the city to learn from. Otherwise, they should go to the Rebbe. Somebody who lends money to somebody else is greater than somebody who gives tzedakah. Because if you give tzedakah, the recipient is always embarrassed a little bit. But if you're lending money, it's not so embarrassing. And forget lending money. If you invest, that's the best. That's the best. If you invest money in somebody, that's the best. If you have a Tamar Chacham who takes revenge like a snake, who chagrehu al masnecha, then you should tie him to your belt. In other words, be close to him. And another, it feels like we're learning all this here. Im Ama Aretzu, and if there's an Ama Aretzu chassid, if you have an Ama Aretzu who is a chassid, then stay. Al tal darbish kunase, don't dwell in his neighborhood. Because people who are Amaratzim, they don't know exactly. They try to do good, but they don't know how to do good. So you have these people who are fighting, the Shem Shemayim, and they're just fighting for the wrong thing. So you get in the way of this steamroller, and either you have to always explain yourself or this or that, but they're on a steamrolling path to what they think is the right thing. So you don't want to be in such a person's neighborhood. Extremely annoying. With regards to the first one, there's many explanations for it. Either it's because of Kavod HaTorah, or it's interesting. Whoever raises a bad dog in his house, he stops chesed from being in his house. By the way, it says bad dog here. There's a different girsa, and that doesn't have the word bad dog, and that would mean any type of dog. But so it's a nidun whether or not people should have dogs as a pet, depending on this girsa, depending on what girsa you have in the Gemara. Whether it says kelev ra or plain kelev. So whoever has a kelev ra, if it's a kelev ra, it just means a kelev that, you know, barks a lot and is annoying. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, lamas merayehu chesed. So lamas, says the Gemara, shekein b'lashon Yivan is curse in Greek, the current kelev lamas. We gurus kelev, kelev is in ancient Greek, a kelev was a lamas. And we're darshaning the Torah in ancient Greek. It says lamas, if somebody has a dog, merayehu chesed. He holds back from his friend Chesed, which is interesting. But then again, we've seen many times that the Torah sometimes darshans in other languages as well. Afrikanis, it says once, and it says in different languages. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Af Pirek Mimenu Yiras Shemayim. He takes off Yiras Shemayim from him as well. Shenemar, and the rest of that pasuk, V'Yiras Shaka Ya'azov. Says the Gemara story, Ahu itita da ailis lahu basa. There was a lady who went into a certain house, Lamepa, to bake bread. Navach bakava, and the dog of the house barked at her. And it's accurate, she got so scared of Vlada, she felt, she aborted the baby. She spontaneously aborted the baby she was carrying because of fright. Amarle Mari the Beise, the owner of the house said, don't worry about it. You know how dog owners are like, no, don't worry about it. Le titchali, the shkili nive ushkili tufre. His teeth were taken out. His bark is worse than his bite. Amrale, shekuli tivusech v'shadya chizvi. Take your favors and throw them to the thorns. Kvar nod vlad. And I felt my baby already move. Amr of Huna, my tichsiv, what does it say in the pasuk? Sameach bachar b'yaldu secha. Be happy, bachar, when you are young. And do what your heart desires when you are younger. And go after your heart and what your eyes see. But you should know, Hashem is going to take you to judgment. That's a pasuk. So the Gemara says the first part of the pasuk is the Yetzirah talking. Adkan divrei Yetzirah. Mikan ve'elach. The second part is divrei Yetzirah Tov. Rish Lakish Amar Adkan divrei Torah. No, the first part was for divrei Torah. Do learn what you want. Learn what your heart desires. And afterwards is for Maisim Tevim. It means that if you don't, according to Rashi, if it means that if you don't keep what you learned, then Hashem is going to take you to judgment. So learn what you want, but beware that true learning is about becoming an Eved Hashem. And therefore, if you learn about something, you have to take it upon yourself to be an Eved Hashem. Yes, we had an Amiridik Rabbeinu Yoina in Pirkei Avos this week that said that it says in the Pasuk, it says in the Mishnah, if you have more Maisim than your Chachma, then your Chachma stays. So what is it? How can you have more Maisim than your Chachma? Your Chachma means it tells you what to do. So if you don't know what to do, how can you have more Maisim than your Chachma? The Rabbeinu Yoina explains, if you learn and you say, when going to Seder, you say, listen, if I learn something new today, I'm going to keep it. Let's say you go to Halakha Seder. So when we go to Halakha Seder, I'm prepared, you know, let's say I go to Rabbi Langer Shir, I'm prepared that if he tells me that from now on I can't eat apples without checking them. Well, listen, he's the expert. So if he tells me that, like they looked into it and you have to eat, check your apples, I'm like, okay, fine, I'll check my apples. You know, I'm willing to take whatever he says. So if you're willing, if you go to a Shir with that attitude of a Nasa Vinishma attitude, that's what he says it means. You get the mitzvah of all the maisim as if you already did them. So therefore, if you go and learn with such an attitude that I'm going to keep what I learned, so then you have more maisim than your chachma. That's how he explains the pasuk, the Mishnah. So it says that over here too. You should learn whatever you want. Learn what your heart desires. But you should know that what you learn, you're going to be taken to account for. Like, you got to keep what you learn. Because the correct mahalach of going to learn is to... The correct mahalach of learning is becoming an Eved Hashem. So I'm mekabel upon myself to follow what I learn. Continues the Gemara, Biris is Tahira. What's a Biris? Amar Yehuda, Biris is Zu Etz Ada. Biris is a bracelet. Says the Gemara, Masav Rav Yosef, Biris is a bracelet. Biris Tahira, V'yetzin Bab Shabbos. You let her walk about in Shabbos. But V'ilu Etz Ada is Tameh. Why would it be Tara then? And Etz Ada, a bracelet, is Tameh. Hachi Kamer, says the Gemara. No, Biris Tachas Etz Ada Emedes. A Biris is worn in the same place that you would wear a bracelet. Just like you wear bracelets on your arm, so too, these birises, which we translated as those belts that tie the top of the stockings together, that's what that is. So it's worn on the leg the same way you would wear a bracelet on the hand. In other words, like a strap around the leg. And it is tar, because it does not service the body, rather it services the stockings. Masiv. Yosef Ravin, Rav Huna, Kamed Rav Yirmiyah, V'yosef Rav Yirmiyah, V'kam Anamni. Rav Yirmiyah was dozing off. V'yosef Ravin, Ravin was saying, V'kamar Biris Ba'achas Kvalim B'shtayim. Biris is where you wear only one, on one strap, on one leg. And Kvalim, the next line in the Mishnah, which says Kvalim, that's where you wear it on two legs. And Amalei Rav Huna, Elim Elim B'shtayim. No, they're both, Biris and Kvalim are both stocking straps that you tie the top of the stocking to hold up the stocking. What's a kvalim? Biris is the actual strap, or if it's metal, it's whatever it is. But it's the loop that holds the stocking tight at the top of the leg. Kvalim is a chain. The Gemara says, Ella umatilin shalshelas b'neim. But sometime they used to put a chain in between the two straps, the two beerises. And v'nasu kvalim, and that's called kvalim. If it has a strap in between the two chains, that's called kvalim. Why? And therefore, frankly, Gemara, it says in the Mishnah that the strap, if you put a chain in between the two things, then it becomes tam, then it becomes kvalim, and kvalim is tamei. Why? Because you put a chain in between them, these stocking straps become a service of a human. Because the halacha is as follows: if you have something that services the human, a chain, a necklace, then it's a keli and it's mekabel tuma. If it's servicing just the clothes, it's not mekabel tuma. So the Gemara understands that these stockings, a lady pulls up her stockings and then ties it with some sort of strap, some sort of what would have been like a bracelet. So that's not servicing her; that's servicing the clothes. Therefore, it's tahar. However, says the Gemara, some a kvalim is that they attach the chain in between her beerus on the right leg and the beerus on the left leg. And now it becomes, looks like handcuffs, leg cuffs, and now these leg cuffs are tummy. It's servicing the person. So, frankly, Gemara, but because you put a chain there, it's suddenly a keli? And if you want to say because it makes a sound, and earlier we saw, because Lamaisa chains make sounds, and earlier we saw bells become bells, service people, and therefore they become bells make a tamer. How do you know that if somebody makes sounds with a metal keli, a metal utensil, that is considered a keli and it's tamer? And even a keli that's supposed to make sounds is included in that. So that says the Gemara that that's because they want the sounds. It was a bell, either a cowbell, or it was a bell to calm down the children, or a bell to call the children. All those examples we had just a couple blad ago, back on Nunches. However, the kavim ma'isa haka, my ma'isa kavim. But over here, the girl doesn't want the chain to clank as she walks around. She probably wants to keep it quiet. Even says the Gemara, hakanami ka'avid ma'isa. No, says the Gemara, it is doing an action. It is protecting you. It is there for her. It's no longer there for the clothes. The reason why she wears these leg cuffs is because it used to be, there was a certain family, this is the Gemara, there was a certain mishpacha in Yerushalayim, that naturally their gait was a very long walk. It was, naturally they had a very, gaits run in family. You know, you can tell, I'm saying, obviously it doesn't have to run in family, but I remember I was once on a second story, we were at a wedding. I have no clue how this happened, but I was walking upstairs on the second story, and my mother afterwards comes over to me, "Were you just upstairs?" I said, "Yes." She says, "I was downstairs and I heard somebody walking," and I'm like, "That's gotta be your father," because it's such a distinct walk. And at first I don't know how she heard through the floor, but she said it was amazing. She said, I recognized your gait through the ceiling. So apparently you're able to have gates apparently run in families as well. So there was a certain family in Yerushalayim that had a very long steps. The girls used to take very long steps naturally. They were inclined to take very long steps. Now, the besulois of girls can be torn via, it doesn't have to be torn only through penetration. They could be torn even to a good soccer game or a good pillow fight, you know, or vaulting, pole vaulting. If you have a girl who takes two big steps, sometimes she could tear her basulim like that. And therefore, says the Gemara, it was these girls in this family used to tear their basulim. Not that it made a difference, they're still considered a basula, but they didn't want to tear the basulim because then people might suspect them of things. So, Lamaisa, they put these chains on that it would help them not take such big steps. So therefore, it was a service of a person, and now that it's a service of a person, it becomes tahar. It becomes a keli, and it can be susceptible to tuma. Also, them kvalim etilu shalshalos b'neim. They made these cuffs, and then a chain in between them. Shelo b'siusein gasus, that it shouldn't be such wide steps. Shelo b'siusein neshuais, and their basulas would not fall out. Itayir b'hu Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah woke up and amarle yaisher. You're right. Chaynam Rabbi Yechanan. So too Rabbi Yechanan said. Ki also Rav Dimi Rabbi Yechanan, minayin la'orei kol shehu shehu tamei. New Gemara How do you know that something...
Is jewelry not considered to be in service to someone?
It is. Jewelry could be mekabel tuma. Yeah. But the top of the stockings were not jewelry. She wasn't showing those parts off. That was way up her leg. It was there just to hold the stockings up that it didn't fall down.
So that's not considered in service to a person by putting your clothes on?
Right. It was a belt for the legs. So therefore, it was a service for the clothing. The stockings itself were mekabel tuma. But it was a service for the stockings.
So would a regular belt like around the waist be mekabel tuma?
I think yes, because I think those are also, you know, those are also fashion. You know, people wear belts. It's part of the outfit. It's not just servicing the pants. But let's say belts around the underwear or something like that, if somebody would have, then I believe it would be the same thing. I think. Says the Gemara, how do you know that if something is woven, even it's very small, kolshehu, now kolshehu doesn't mean a tiny one stitch, but it means even if it's very small, the Gemara doesn't give a minimal shear, but we're going to see that it's not too small, but minayin la'arei kolshehu shehu tamei, how do you know? Mitzitz. From the tzitz, just like the tzitz was tamei, so too is any other small, comparable, woven thing tamei. Says the Gemara, how do you see anything from the tzitz? The tzitz was a metal piece. Amalei bayev, a tzitz oraku, v'hatanya tzitz kimin tashel zahav. The tzitz was a golden plate. V'roich of shtei etzbois, and it was two finger breadths wide. U'mukav ma'ezen la'ezen, and it was very long from ear to ear of the Kohen Gadol. He wore it like a headband. So imagine, you know, those people who wear headbands over their shoulder, and over the, like a... over their forehead, sort of like a gang thing, you know. And it was made out of gold. And it says, because of the base sheet, and it had two lines on it, Yud He Lamaila and Kodesh Lamed Lamata. It said on it, Yud Kevav, actually said on this piece, Kodesh Lahashem, Lamed Yud Kevav Ke. That's what it said on the Kodesh. The question is, they didn't want to write, since it was on two lines, the first line had Kodesh and the second line had La Hashem, they didn't want to put anything on top of Hashem's name. So therefore, there's about four or five different Mahalchim and the Rishonim, how the Gemara said it looked. But they either put the name La Hashem on the first part of the line and Kodesh on the second part of the line, or because the Beis Din Yud Hei Lamaila and Kodesh Lamed Lamata, how it was supposed to say Kodesh LaHashem, but they wrote it in a manner. And again, there's a bunch of different mafarshim on how exactly it was done. But they wrote it in a manner that the Kodesh was not directly over the LaHashem. Either LaHashem was first, or Kodesh was and Kodesh was under it, or they were on different parts of the line. It was different. It was written differently. Oh, if I remember correctly, the part they wrote LaHashem over here and Kodesh over here. So it would be read Kodesh LaHashem, and LaHashem was on the top line. That's what I did. Oh, you have pictures? Okay, move it over. Okay, so that was the first one is the other one I was remembering first, and the second one is the one I was remembering second. So who's the second one? Tosfos. Okay, so I was remembering Tosfos and Rashi. Okay, yeah. Okay, so I remember Rashi and Tosfos, and the third one is Rabbeinu Tam quoted by the Rashba, Kodesh. Okay. Yeah, there are more shittas as well, but here those are the ones I remember. So either it's just like plain LaHashem on top and Kodesh on the bottom, or LaHashem Kodesh on the bottom over here and LaHashem. So it's read like that. At least it's readable. That's the way Tosfos explains it. Benkach u benkach. The Amar Abelazar, Rabbi Yosi, Ani Rei Yisiv. I saw it, Be'ir Raimi, when I went to Rome. Because of Kodesh LaHashem B'Shidachas. It was actually only one line. Kodesh LaHashem on one line, it wasn't two lines. Kisalik Rav Dimi Lina Harda, when Rav Dimi went to Nardah, Shalach Lehu, Dvarim Shamaritim Lechem Toysim B'Yadi. So the Gemara says it's a question. How do you see anything about being woven from the tzitz? So the Gemara, he responded, you're right, I made a mistake. Baram Kach Amar Mishim Rabbi Yechanan, Minayin L'Tachshit Kol Shehu Shehu Tamei. How do you know a jewelry, any type of jewelry is Tamei, even if it's small, that's mitzitz. I don't really understand this because that's quite a large piece of jewelry right there. I mean, going from ear to ear, how bigger of a jewelry do you have? I mean, I don't think even a fat necklace nowadays is not that. I mean, it's interesting.
Kol shehu tamei, you know, they have was it Elazar Yossi says he saw it and it was on one line. So how can Rashi say it was on two lines?
No, Rashi's explaining the previous Gemara. The Gemara.
The previous one.
Yeah. The previous Gemara says it was on two lines. So Rashi explains it his way, takes it his way, and then the Rebbe Elazar comes along and says that, you know, he saw it. So, how do you know a woven thing that was tamei? That's oy beged from the extra word in the pasuk of oy beged. If you have something that's half woven and half orig and half metal, that's also tamei. So now we see that when it said before kol shehu, it doesn't really mean a kol shehu, because then you can't have half of a kol shehu. So it obviously means a minimal shear. It's tummy. Orig v'tachshit kol shehu. Tummy, how do you know something that's put together? It's tummy. Moisev. Tan rabbanan. Orig kol shehu. Tummy. Tachshit kol shehu. Tummy. Orig v'tachshit kol shehu is also tummy. Moisev sak al habeged. Now this is a brisa, and the Gemara is going to explain this part of the brisa on the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, so we'll keep it for Sunday. But Moisev sak al habeged. Sackcloth is more tummy than beged in the following way. Shetummy mishum orig. Gemara will explain that. Amar Rava, orig kol shehu tamei me oy beged. So something that's woven, even if it's tiny, is tamei from the extra words in the pasuk oy beged. Tachshit, a jewelry kol shehu, even if it's very small, is tamei mitzitz. We learn that from the tzitz. And orig v'tachshit, something that is half woven and half metal, is also tamei kol shehu tamei. That's from kol kli maisa, from the extra words in the pasuk of any keli. A certain Rav said to Larava, that was by Tumas Midyan, which is talking about specifically Tumas Mace. How do you know that it can contract other Tumases as well? You're right. It says it over there by Midyan. But Lamaisa is Xer Shava to the other types of Tumas. By Shiratzim it says Kol Kli Asher. And here it says Kol Kli. So the Kali is Xer Shava that teaches us that whatever applied in the first one will apply by the second one. Okay, let's stop over here. We'll continue Mitzvah Shem Sunday. We should be able to get through it. All right. Have a great one, Rabbi Yisrael.
Thank you.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Yeah.